It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Oh, we are not afraid. Bring on the issues. Bring it on, bring it on, bring it on, bring it on. You know, you can always, that's one thing. I remember when I first started doing radio in 2003, whenever you bring on controversial issues, they would, heck, every issue we'd bring on would, oh my goodness, controversial back then, you know. And now it's, you can't even say they're controversial until you start talking about the issues that we were in the last hour. But I don't want to be afraid of talking about these issues because they're so important. This is something that I really don't want to dwell on it because it's so dark. But I want to make sure that everything gets its due, and the children who's out there advocating for them. There's other things that are going to attack us I wouldn't say as visceral level, but we have an issue that we're going to talk about in this hour. We have Dr. Jane Orion on again from Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. And I remember them from in the mid-90s during the Clinton years when they were trying to do Hillary care. You know, and then you had the Republican version. Oh, no, we wouldn't do it that way. We'd do it this way. And then Obama comes in, and I think pretty much he took the Republican version and did it and made it, whatever. I mean, it's all they're going to manage from on high, and you're going to get what you get. And I know where this goes. You know, throughout history, whenever you collectivize, centralize, somebody gets to make the plan on whether you can or can't. And, oh, by the way, we took all your resources from you over your entire life, so you couldn't accumulate any resources that you could spend on taking care of yourself. You have to depend on us. In fact, we encourage your dependence on us. And then we're going to, on the promise that we're going to take care of you, and then when you need it, oh, I'm sorry, it's not there. So I'm seriously. But there's been an association around for decades, I think in the late 40s when they were starting to try and do this before. Jane, help me out. When did the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons start?
We started in 1943 at the time of the Wagner-Murray-Dingell Bill. The Dingell was the father of the current Dingell that we have, and they were trying to do this ever since then. It's been an emergency ever since then, and it always involves the same thing. Compulsory insurance. Take all your money, put it in a big pot, and then divvy it up the way the people on high think is best.
You know, in the last hour, we're talking about those that can't protect themselves, the young, the children being exploited on something. But, I don't want to get into it in this hour. But now we're looking at the other end. You know, we're looking at the older people. We're looking at somebody that, as you become increasingly dependent on the good nature and love of others, who do you turn to? The government, oh yeah, their compassion. So now that this law has been out and you've challenged it, you're prepping for court, you're going through discovery, you're looking at all that. You know, tell me some of the things that we don't know that we should be worried about from this bill.
Well, if you don't know,
we're going into break. You know, I don't want to get you going.
Okay.
This is a good place to stop because when we come back here on Declare Your Independence with Jane Orient, a doctor with the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons that has AAPS versus Sebelius, which is a lawsuit on Obamacare. You know, why? We're going to find out when we come back.
It's time to declare your independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and another independence-declaring kind of individual, Dr. Jane Orient from the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, doing battle with Obamacare. And this is just round, I don't know, 15 or something, since 1943 they've been doing this. How many times have you guys had to contend with this over the decades?
Well, there was the Wagner-Murray-Dingell bill, and then there was Medicare, which I guess we lost big time. And then there was Hillary Care that we defeated, and now there's Obamacare, and that is supposed to be unchangeable now that it's been enacted, now that they bought enough votes to just barely get it over the finish line, but that remains to be seen. We're suing them in court to have it the enforcement of the individual mandate enjoined, and without forcing you to buy that insurance, there's no way to finance this, and it will fail.
Well, you know, they all failed. I mean, you know, I'm looking at the top of my – if people went to ErnestHancock.org, you know, at the top of that page or on Ernie's Favorites special edition on Freedom's Phoenix, I put a link to a film called Melt Up, and it's about the inflation and where we're going and, you know, get ready and buckle in. Here it goes. But in there, they said, look, if we took – you know, Obama came out and said, we're going to, you know, freeze spending. Well, except for we're not going to touch Social Security and Medicare and this and that and everything. But everything else, well, it doesn't matter. If you took every single bit of government and lopped it off of the budget and left Medicare and Social Security, Medicaid, you're still in the red. You know, we cannot survive that. And now we're adding on health care. It is a certainty that we are going – we already are bankrupt. It's, you know, here comes Greece. Here we go. You want to see what's going to happen to the U.S.? Look at Greece. So now we're looking at the Obamacare coming up, and at least somebody's doing the yeoman's work out there. Somebody's challenging. What are you finding in this bill that you probably think would be the most alarming to the American populace?
Well, if they don't know it already, they certainly should, that they promised to finance it by cutting $500 billion, $500 billion out of Medicare over the next 10 years. And they say, oh, that'll be all waste, fraud, and abuse, but what they mean by that is medical care for older people. It's kind of a waste to spend it on them if they're not going to be around too much longer. So we will just not pay people who provide it, which means, by golly, they're not going to be providing it anymore and ordering all those expensive tests.
Are these all the same people that are screaming about population control?
just coincidentally, and by the way, it goes down to the lower end of the spectrum, too. If you're under 2 years of age, then not too much has been invested in you already. So we should, you know, maybe we should divert the resources that would go to you to somebody who could benefit from it more.
Or at least somebody that could articulate in words, you know, please don't kill me. I mean, you know, this is... I see this as government, any kind of central planning like this. Everything's just, you know Don Brudeau, don't you?
Yes.
You know, Don, we're going to try and get him to come be a speaker this year's summit. He was a speaker at our first summit in 2001, 3 weeks after 9/11. And I remember him giving a speech, and he made, I can't remember what he was referring to, but he was saying these policies, when they enact something like this, that it's just like their bombers in World War II and their B-29, and all they see the effect of them pushing a button is little puffs of smoke. It's just a little puff smoke, boom, a bomb. They don't see the carnage on the ground, you know? And this is what I see, this health care bill. They put all these little things, oh, waste, fraud, and abuse, and we're going to this and that. And then they get to define what waste is.
Well, waste could be an unnecessary medical service. It could be one that didn't work. It could be one that's beneath the standard of care, which they define. It could be anything that they want it to be.
It could be an 83-year-old person that needs, a bypass. And they go,
a pacemaker or a hip. You know, you don't necessarily die right away if you don't get an artificial hip. You just can't walk.
Well, that's, you know, what's happening in other socialized medicine countries. It's exactly what's happening, and they're coming here to get treatment. And now we're having, you know, you're starting to see the, you know, the free market will always rear its head. I mean, all of a sudden, what? You know, I'm taking a, you know, I get a foot massage for 2 weeks while I go to India to get my hip replaced, you know, and I get my own personal attendant, and it costs half as much, and I get first class travel. I mean, you know, this is happening right now.
So, oh, it already is, yes. Billions of dollars are already going offshore.
Well, let me ask you this. Here's, you know, one of the solutions, and I bring this up. I was talking to Dr. Mary Ruart was on a day or two ago, and this very question came up. I'm saying, you know, what would happen? You create this enormous market. What's going to happen? The Coast Guard or the U.S. Navy is going to go blow up hospital ships that are anchored 12 miles off our western coast, and you take a half-hour boat ride, you know, a little speedboat. Bzzz, I go out there and I, you know, visit my brothel and casino and knee replacement ship. You see my point?
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, is that happening? I mean, it's already kind of happening across the border in Mexico that they got their own problems. I feel a lot safer just being on a ship out in the middle of the ocean and say, you know, give me a Operation Vacation, man. It's all good.
Well, why not on Indian reservations? They're supposed to be a tribal government. They're supposed to be independent nations. And there's already a really good highway going to the casino.
Ooh,
so why should we
I like
be
your
building
thinking.
Hospitals that don't take Medicare? Because all of these expensive rules and regulations are attached to the Medicare money. You take their money, they tell you how wide to make the doors and just about everything else. If you don't take their money, you really are outside their jurisdiction, especially if you're located on Indian land.
Well, that's a good idea. Now, we've thought of that before in various things, you know, gun manufacturing, lease land, I can just live here, you know, different kind of things that I can, you know, get more freedom. And in fact, during the last election cycle, Barry Hess and I, when he was running for governor the last time in 06, he and I went up to, maybe it was 04. Anyway, we went up to the Indian reservation up near the Grand Canyon there, and there's a couple different Indian tribes, and we went to speak and asked, and we said, look, you have what we want. You have sovereignty. You have this opportunity to be separate. You want to be free, man. We're all over it. We'll advocate for what you got, and we want to share in it, and we'll protect them. They go, no, we just want a bigger government check. So I'm going, okay, so when you advocate having these hospitals and so on Indian reservations, are they too susceptible? Are they able to be independent? Are they already infiltrated? What?
I don't know. No one has really tried it seriously, as far as I know. I don't have any contacts with tribal governments, but they have been abused by being subjected to socialism for so many decades that it has really affected them, and they have the Indian Health Service, which is kind of a disaster, but it's socialized medicine and it's free.
Now, see, that's one thing they'd hold over their heads. Hey, you know what? We're just going to, you know, build our own hospital. Fine. And then you can't have this service. I mean, there's always going to be some kind of bribery, coercion. Yeah, government's just not going to let them do it.
Well, of course, that's what they do to the states. You do this, and we take away your highway money and your education money and your Medicaid money, and nobody does the math to think, well, maybe if you took all that money away, we'd be better off, because a whole bunch of parasitic bureaucrats would go with it.
Well, you know, just that, you know, having the option to be free might be a draw.
I don't know whether it is so much anymore. People who talk about freedom are supposed to be radicals.
What do you mean?
They always were.
What do you mean? I mean, you know, when they're giving me the option, because here in Phoenix, I mean, you're in Tucson, right?
Right.
Well, I mean, we're surrounded by Indian reservations. Heck, you know, Scottsdale, you know, you go across the street, it's freaking Indian reservation. You know, that's where all the casinos that we have around the valley here are Indian reservation. We're saturated with Indian reservation. If I could do development or go there and do and you be free and just, you know, give me a 99-year lease on whatever, man, I'm all over it. You know,
yeah,
so
but the only thing that the freedom is good for is gambling. Maybe because the government gets such a huge cut out of the gambling take. Why should vice be the only thing that arises in this free country there? No,
well, you know, that's what I need to know. Because, you know, when you have a casino, there are moneyed interest. I would think that the healthcare industry would, you know, have benefit. They'd want to do it. They just don't want to go up against the man, I guess. That's why I see. I think it's a good idea. It should be pursued. But and maybe we can do it here in Arizona, Jane. I'll help.
I hope it's that we can figure out how to do it, because I think that that's the only way that we're going to be able to preserve our ability to get decent medical care. I mean, you can go to India maybe, but you've got to go on a long plane ride, and some people, that's good for them.
I don't know, off the west coast of America here, off the east, we got enough coastline around this country. We can, you know, there's a lot of hospital ships. You know, guess what? You know, I get to recuperate sunning on the Lido deck. I mean, you know, this is, if the free market is going to produce this solution, I guarantee it. But will there be a torpedo waiting because they're doing it? I don't know. These are things that we need to think about, talk about more with Dr. Jane Orient and the lawsuit against Obamacare by AAPS. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Oh, is it a possible mission? I don't know. I think it's a mission that should be undertook by somebody. Well, Dr. Jane Orient from the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons since 1943 have been going after this collectivized, the man, the king, the boys up top, the bureaucrats, the people that say they own you. They're going to decide, you know, if and when and how and what you're going to be able to receive in healthcare. And that's like bad. And why is that bad, Jane? I mean, why do we care?
Well, if they own you and they see you only as a value if you vote or you provide tax money, then your life isn't worth anything to them. In fact, it's a liability. So why not have you move aside, inculcate in everybody a duty to die as soon as the government decides that it's your time?
You know, one thing that was kind of just a aside for a second, I realized when they started doing the Federal Reserve and such back in the early 1900s, you know, America was becoming very prosperous. You know, people would pay cash for their homes, they would save and accumulate, and that was capitalism. That was the capital that they'd lend to, you know, their friends, neighbors, local bank would do whatever. I mean, and everything's fine, but the big bad central banker guys, they weren't getting their cut. In fact, people, you know, we had depreciation of prices. You had gold was, you know, a stable currency. We have more efficiencies in the market. Things would get cheaper. You'd have better life. And they go, oh, no. This freedom thing is just makes it to where, you know, we don't get our cut, whoever we are. And we're having this played out right now in the stock market toward the financials. The banks are, you know, and they're too big to fail because they need to. And I'm looking at the healthcare industry. Not only have they gotten all the fruits of our labor, you know, life, liberty, property, you know, our liberty to sustain our life produces this property that they've already taken in the monetary system. And now they want to take even more with the promise of helping sustain our life. Will they? Is this their goal? I mean, you know, it's a promise that they get to the 20, 30-year-olds. You have to buy this insurance on the promise, like Social Security, that you're going to have this benefit decades later, so these older people will get access to this. And then when you are older and you need the service, they're going, I'm sorry, man. You know, that wasn't on our list. So I'm wondering what historical referent where people are using, thinking that this is going to produce any kind of benefit that's being promised. How is that marketed?
Well, the historical examples are all terrible. They lead not only to poverty and misery, but to widespread oppression and death. But people don't learn their history. They go to the government schools and they learn about how the government is so compassionate and all civilized countries have this, and look at Europe, it's all very nice there, just like Bernie Madoff's investors were doing very well, and you didn't ask too many questions. If you were a naysayer, well, there was something wrong with you. And the day of reckoning is staring us right in the face, and people just seem to be blind.
Well, that's where I come in, and a lot of people I associate with. I see this as a side effect of a culture that's lost its memory, that doesn't know that. I think people generally and genuinely are good. They want to do what they perceive to be the right thing. They want to, provide for themselves and their family. And, I don't see people as the problem. I see their good nature being exploited by those that don't have a good nature. And where do we find them collectivized in one place? Let me think. Government. Okay. So I'm looking for solutions. I mean, we have alternatives here. We're talking about one, you challenge them, you make it like what you're doing. We're going, hey, man, this sucks. And then you point out a lot of the problems in it. You look at historical references. You have alternatives, which is already happening. You have, healthcare tourism or whatever. And I'd say, there's international waters, 12 miles off of West Coast, California. I can get there by boat faster than I could, drive 2 miles in L.A. traffic. So I'm please get me to the beach, man. I'm off. So I see the solution coming. What I really see is there is going to have to be a concentrated effort to prevent that very thing from happening. They are creating an enormous market for freedom in healthcare that's as close away as a ship off the coast. They will not be able to allow. Have you anticipated what kind of repercussions people would get for leaving? Are there laws that are in there that somehow you're taxed for the money that you're spending overseas for your healthcare? There's regulations. Oh, I'm sorry. What's your business or pleasure? Oh, healthcare. Boop. You're not allowed to leave the country with your passport. You see what I mean? There's going to be some kind of backlash to the free market solution to this socialized medicine. I'm wondering if you're seeing the beginnings of it in legislation or anything.
Well, there's some of it in the Obamacare that passed as far as Medicare is concerned, that there are doctors who are not enrolled in Medicare, and they are tightening all of the requirements so that doctors who are not enrolled and whose things that they order or refer for are not cataloged and counted by the government, the patients can't get their Medicare benefits even for things that are provided by enrolled physicians. Like they can't get their MRIs or their CT scans or their laboratory tests because these people won't get paid if the service is ordered by somebody who's not in the system and not subject to the coercive sort of self rationing.
We'll talk about that when we come back, because I want to know how they're controlling the doctor relations.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
A little less conversation, a little more action, please. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me. A little more fight, a little less fun, a little less fight.
Yeah, satisfy me. Well, a little less conversation, a little more action, please. Okay, I do want to get into this doctor-patient relations and how this bill affects that. And I want to make sure that I understand the controls they have on people that choose not to be in the system. Are you allowed not to be in the system? How are they coercing you not to be in the system? We'll get to that. We have a long segment here. It's like 18 minutes. So we'll get to that. But we'll go ahead and start taking callers. 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. But I definitely want to get the answer to that. But we'll go ahead and go to Lee in Georgia. Go ahead, Lee.
How you doing? I'll make this real quick, and then I'll hang up and let you respond to it. First of all, remember when Obama responded to a statement about grandma and a pacemaker, and he said, maybe instead of giving grandma a pacemaker, we should just give her a painkiller. That's old Dr. Obama for you. Now, my dad, last 10 years of his life, at home, confined to the bed, home nursing, the whole deal. 3 years before his death, he come down real bad sick, went to the hospital, spent about a month in the hospital. During that period, at 1 o'clock in the morning, he suffered a massive heart attack. They saved his life immediately, rushed him into the emergency room, put a pacemaker in his chest, called us 10 o'clock in the morning and told us what had happened. Under Obamacare, that would not have happened. Now, remember during another town hall meeting or whatever it was, when Obama was asked if it was his grandmother, and his response was, well, I'd want to get her the best possible care. Now, keeping in mind, I do not have insurance. I have no intentions of getting it. I don't care what mandate they have, and I dare them to come knock on my door.
Hey, thanks for the call, Lee. Any comments, Jane?
Well, you can dare them, but chances are that they might. They won't come knocking on everybody's door, but if they pick us off one at a time, it's a pretty good at instilling terror. Like if they come into a few doctors' offices with their SWAT teams because the doctor ordered a few too many services, the doctors get the idea.
You know, we have a common friend that is a physician that practiced geriatrics. I became aware of him an op-ed or an article or response he did in the Wall Street Journal one time back in the mid-90s where he said, hey, man, I left Canada to get away from this as a doctor. His wife and he are both doctors, and they said, you know, we're out of here. They came to America, and then they go, oh, heck, man, we see it coming again. You know, and I know they joined AAPS, and they were prominent in opposing what Hillary was trying to do. But now we're in a situation to where he goes, you know, I'm done. I'm going to do plastic surgery. You know, I'm not on your grid, man. I'm not doing – I'm just leaving this and going over here. But I want to ask you, in these patient-doctor relations, who can be your doctor, what you can and can't, how – invasive are they on just doctors? Like, I mean, he's a friend of mine. I go, hey, you know, I feel a little, can I get a prescription? I want to, where's the regulation? Where does it come in that I could even have a doctor that is out of the system? Is that allowed anymore? Or they start to encroach on that?
It's not exactly against the law, but doctors are very hesitant to do that because they're afraid they'll go bankrupt. And one reason is that patients are accustomed to having all their bills paid through a third party, either through the government or their insurance company. And the doctor doesn't take insurance. A lot of patients get really indignant. Like, well, I paid for my insurance planner. I paid my taxes. You should have to take care of me. And they're really quite willing to do something to hurt you, report you to the medical board, report you to the fraud investigators.
Well, am I allowed to take chicken eggs in payment for my doctor services? I don't understand, you know, how socialist have we gotten?
Well, there are these price controls that if you are taking Medicare, then you're only allowed to take a certain amount for covered services, which is why doctors are going.
Okay, let's bypass that. Let's get out of the. Let's quit trying to fix the government. You know, screw the government. Okay,
right.
I want to know the one. You got licensing. I mean, that's a whole other thing right there. You
right.
know, the American Medical Association. They're part of the problem. They are the problem. Okay, I'm looking for free market health care. I want, you know, which doctor down the street? What's his name? That's going to, you know, scratch me with the claw of whatever and cure my whatever. Okay, I want the freedom. And where does the freedom start being extracted from healthcare? At what level is that? Is it mom giving you an aspirin? I mean, we saw you think I'm kidding. If you have a kid, you know, a young girl, she's 13, she starts having menstrual cramps, she takes Midol to school, boom, suspended, arrested, mom's in trouble. What I mean, it's just phenomenal. At what level do we not have got? How can we, you know, navigate this labyrinth and be away from it? I mean, is there a way to do that?
It's getting more and more difficult when the government is trying to get control over even vitamins or nutritional supplements, that you have to have a prescription for that. And to write the prescription, you have to have a license. And now, if you want to write a prescription and it's covered by Medicare, you have to be enrolled in the Medicare system. And they have to have all of your unique number, and they have to have access to your bank account. And they'll be watching you to make sure that you're not wasting society's resources on people who aren't worth it.
Oh, you see a steady march. You know, my thing is, you know, they do something like Obamacare, and I'm like, bring it on, bring it on, bring it on, bring it on. One day closer to freedom. I mean, you know, we're just, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Well, let's find out. Let's go to David in New Mexico. Go ahead, David.
Well, I'm very sympathetic to the course of this conversation, and yes, I agree that they want to reduce population and they want to call the herd of the old and the handicapped, people that are not profitable slaves to their system. But, you know, they want to destroy doctors and other medical professionals because they have been the backbone of the middle class, and they want to destroy anyone, any professional that has a measure of independence and some financial wherewithal. My grandfather was a doctor, and he had a lot of latitude when he practiced medicine. He had his own pharmacy and everything in right there in his office. You couldn't begin to do those things today.
You know, that's a good, you know, thanks for the call, David. You know, that's a good point, Jane. I mean, this having the ability to provide a full care, you have your own pharmacy, you have your own testing facility. There's all kinds of regulations in how many services a doctor can supply, isn't there?
Well, they shut down most in-house laboratories a long time ago with this Clinical Laboratory Improvement Act, another newspeak name. Doctors were once respected members of the community, pillars of the community, and now they're being turned into enemies of the state. And people are buying it. The government needs a scapegoat for when this goes wrong, and so they're already blaming those greedy, selfish doctors who just want to buy their second BMW and who really don't care about you. And if they don't provide services at a loss, well, it's because they're greedy. It's not because we have taken all your money and squandered it for you.
Okay, now this is one thing I want to bring up, though. I mean, you'll have a medical association that will, you know, come up and say, well, we got it. It's just like the bar for attorneys or any other trade organization. And they'll say, you know, I had personal experience with this with the restaurant association as a restaurant owner and so on. They would use government whatever to make you be part of their organization. We're going to force you. You're going to have to join us or all these ramifications. And I resisted it and went on. We made a big deal in press and court and all kinds of stuff. But, you know, the doctors, are they doing the same kind of thing? I think, you know, we have the American Medical Association, or you have it for, you know, the dentist, or you have it for lawyers, or they're in there in Washington advocating for elimination of competition. And by doing that, saying that there's some kind of benefit to a licensed, certified doctor of fill in the blank, and you get the permission slip from the government to whatever, that gives them also the power of saying how you get to practice medicine inside, even though you're in the club. So I'm going, are they starting to realize that this collectivization of power and influence and legislation might be a bad thing, and they're ready to rebel or not?
Well, organized medicine represents itself, and it's seeing a hemorrhage of members. The AMA, for example, has a seat at the table and it's a stakeholder, and its stake is at least $70 million, maybe $100 million in revenue every year from the coding monopoly that they have. If you file a Medicare claim, you have to use one of their CPT codes, current procedural terminology codes. They have every incentive to change them constantly and to sell you a $200 book every year, whatever it costs. And then you can be accused of a crime if you don't use the codes correctly as determined by the prosecutor who has undertaken your case.
My
so,
daughter...
You know, the AMA wants to be the experts. They want to tell you not only what you do, but how to describe it.
You know, that my daughter and my daughter-in-law both are medical coders. You know, it's part of this requirement, HIPAA, whatever. You know, they got a job because of it. You know, this is, and I'm going, you know, what is it that you do? We just put in, you know, they put in whatever, and they know that there's potential for abuse there, because all they got to do is put in a certain number, you know, in the thing. They get paid for whatever, whether they did it or not. You know, I mean, they could have done something. That's our way of getting around the system. Then it comes investigation. And did you or did you not? You know, because they're just coding in whatever. And I'm just going, this is so, it's so far away from a supply, demand, free market. I want, I pay you for, I do. It's voluntary association. I desire it. You gave me it. There's just so, and if anybody wants to regulate something, let the freaking insurance company regulate. And if they don't do their job of the deal, the contract they made with the patient and the doctor, well, that's what courts are for. The only role government should be having this whole dang thing is just force and fraud. Yeah, did you say you were going to do this? Did you do it? You didn't do it? Okay, well, you know, here's the award. I'm just just a disinterested third-party arbiter of voluntary contracts. Problem solved. But that's not what's happening. And it's an entire result of a sickness that we have allowed to infect our culture that we need to have somebody babysit, take care of us to the point that when you really need it, I'm sorry, you cost the state too much money. Next.
What can I add to that?
How inaccurate is that?
Well, our president points out, why should I code stuff? Because they decide whether it's right or wrong. And if you already know what the code is supposed to be after the fact, why don't you put it in yourself? Why are you going to take me to criminal court because I put it in and you later disagreed with it?
I don't even want the code. I mean, I can see the advantage of when you're, you know, if you think like they do, of course you can see the advantage of keeping track of the health of the herd. I mean, that's what, you know, one woman, a letter to her granddaughter did before she passed away. Her granddaughter was young and she was estranged from her daughter. And she said, the reason I opposed all this government, all the, you know, Social Security numbers, not because I understood, of course, the rancher wants the number as cattle. You know, this is what they're doing. We're livestock. They think of individuals as livestock. The whole purpose of this American experiment, this whole concept of the Declaration of Independence, this creation of this nation, the fighting of a revolution against the most powerful known force in the universe, save God, at that time, the whole purpose was for individual liberty. The whole point you have a government is to defend our rights to do whatever we want as long as we're not bothering anybody. And it keeps getting more and more to the tune of even making choices with another human being that wants to keep you alive. You know, they have an incentive in keeping you alive. They want you to stay alive. That's the deal that you make with them. And then the government gets in and go, well, maybe we don't want to keep you alive. And I'm going, this doesn't bother anybody? I mean, this is like you don't put a swastika on that? I mean, come on, man. You know, so I'm wondering what kind of success you're having in the lamestream media, the media that's so last century. Now that we have Obama in office, you have your lawsuit, you're out there fighting the good fight. Are we free in minds? Does the media even understand what's going on? Are the physicians and surgeons coming to your aid? Are they giving you more money? Or are they crouching down and licking the boot that's on their throat?
Well, both. And there are more and more physicians who are making an exodus, who are declaring independence and attempting to get away from these third-party contracts, especially with Medicare and Medicaid. But there are others who are just saying, well, we'll just try to get along, and maybe it won't be so bad. Maybe they'll eat us last, although they haven't awakened to the fact that that's what they're doing, hoping the crocodile will eat them last.
Eat us last. You know, the one I'm looking forward to there being a – well, I mean, it's exactly like the doctor that came here. He and his wife is doctors from Canada. We're done. We understand where this goes. We're out. And then they come here, and within a decade, you know, it's as bad as what they left. So they're going, wow, man, is it a global thing? And that's a good question. You know, the caller from New Mexico, David, was saying that, it's a population control kind of deal. And it is. It's always been population control of the population. But, I mean, we're talking about actual numbers. You know, there's too many. We don't want to have to pay out Medicare and Social Security. I mean, the math doesn't work. We can't afford it. We got to lop off all the non-productive of society and just, you know, get good little tax slaves out there busting butt, or you got to go into the cattle chute. You know, I'm going, it really isn't more complicated than that. To think that that's not exactly what's happening means you haven't been paying attention.
Well, that's right. But you're afraid to say anything now because you'll be called a racist. And you say, we have good guys in charge now. Admittedly, if it's the same system as Hitler, but you know, we're not Hitler, we're nice, and we're not going to do what Hitler did.
Oh, that's a good one. Glenn Beck, I saw a clip he had up there, and they were saying, you know, all this stuff, you know, more government here, more surveillance there, and they bring up Nazis and Hitler, and I can't believe they would do that. That's nothing like that. You know, there's not there's not this, there's not that, I see it coming. I mean, and we're already, if you're just looking at pure numbers of people that have died at the hands of government policy, I'm going, it's pretty damn close if you ask me. Well, who's defending against it? AAPS, Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, and we'll be right back with Jane Orient in just a moment.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free.
Yeah, I want to break free from your lies. You lie, 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 lie like a dog. That's the government constantly. I already get it. I know that part. I mean, dang. Can we go somewhere else now? Can we do something else? Can we try something else? Let's give that freedom thing a shot. What the heck? Well, that's what's coming. Get ready, because it's going to get really, 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 really bad in a lot of ways. Let's go ahead and go to Jerry in Washington real quick, man. Short segment. Go for it.
You betcha. I just wanted to bring up that your guest had mentioned something about the control of the vitamins and such, and I've been following and trying to pass along to, I own a small business in Washington State, and I tell people that there's some magic words that you need to learn, which is Codex Alimentarius. And so I just wanted to let you know about that and maybe listen to your comments, your guest's comments on that.
Yeah, thanks, Jerry. And, you know, we should do a story on that, a show. I've done it before. And Codex Alimentarius, it's the concept that they have in Europe. I know that they're starting already. Vitamin E, C, whatever. You got all kinds. It's almost like buying, you know, heroin or something, you know, or morphine or whatever. I mean, they start putting it on the scheduled drugs or whatever. And they attempt to do it here in the United States. How far along are they with that, Jane?
Well, we have had a bill in Congress called DSHEA, the drug supplements and so on, which are treated like nutritional items and not subject to FDA regulations. And they've been fighting to overturn that for quite some time. But the Codex, the danger of that is it's an international treaty, so that it could be imposed on us without Congress having much to say about it.
Why do they call it that? Where does that name come from? What does it mean? Is it Latin or something? I don't even know what it means.
Well, alimentarius has to do with the digestive tract, so maybe it has to do with nutrition, because it does have a lot of control over foods also. And, of course, it's to save us from adulterated foods.
Fine. You know, force and fraud. You know, give me a civil litigation. Just go whip butt. You know, this guy did this. Liar, liar, liar. Pants on fire. But that's not what happens. Government's always there protecting these guys. They're always allowing it. They're changing the definition. Monsanto genetic engineered kind of I wish I was food. And all of a sudden you got paper growing out of your skin. You know, I'm not kidding. I mean, your cellulose starting to fibers, people itching, what the heck? All of a sudden you start pulling out cotton. You know, I'm going, this is amazing, amazing stuff that's going on, and it's all based on the same thing. Do we have the right to voluntarily contract with other human beings without a third party getting in the way? And I tell you, it gets in all kinds of areas that a lot of this audience gets uncomfortable with, including illegal immigration. Immigration. You sit there and you go, I want to contract with this individual right here. I don't know. Did you get permission slip, I-9, whatever you filled out with the government? That they have a right to work? I mean, you know what your right to work is? Here, fog this mirror. You know, because once you start controlling these kinds of human-to-human relationships, all of a sudden it starts goring your ox, and you're looking for the doctor to save your life. Well, I'm sorry, man. Did you get your government permission slip? Well, you allowed a government permission slip over here on this issue. You know, what's the difference between in this issue? I mean, we're the government. And I'm going, man, once you give up the principle, man, you're done. It's just a matter of degree now. So in the last minute here, go ahead and give me contact information. People want to know more about you guys, what website and everything. Give them all the goodies.
AAPSonline.org or TakeBackMedicine.com. And you can come there and leave your comments on our Mythbusters or our Truth Serum blog or other opportunities for activism and find out what events we're offering.
AAPSonline.org.
Yes.
Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. AAPSonline.org. Because this is going to be a very, very front and center issue as the years go by. Because if we don't fix it now, you're going to have to fix it later. Or just abandon the entire concept of government doing anything. We'll see you tomorrow.